So we're beginning another chapter. Chapter 28. Prabhupada has called this chapter Kapila's Instructions on the Execution of Devotional Service. Interesting title because he's describing this Kama Yoga. And just a little appreciation from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. He calls the chapter Kapila Describes Ashtanga Yoga. Different audience, different time, different acharya. Prabhupada, in his Bhagavad Gita commentary and his rendering of Srimad Bhagavatam also, the beginning, the middle, and the end, and everywhere in between is bhakti. The nurturer of bhakti. And his audience was the modern world. The world, the whole, because his books would be translated in as many languages as there are. So people that had no sense of culture, Siddhanta, Tattva, nothing. So, to make sure that his audience got the message, it's bhakti, bhakti, bhakti. And we can see that, say, you know, you're familiar with Bhagavad Gita, so in Bhagavad Gita, it's done consistently. A little sharing. One of my godbrothers, his name is Satyaraj. And the primary service that he has chosen for himself is he mixes with academic people. Now, the American Academy of Religion is a conference that's held each year. And it's not just American or professors of religion in America. It's world famous and people come from all over. And he goes to that conference every year, connects with those people and sells some of his books. And his meditation is to influence the educators to have a proper understanding of bhakti. In order to do that, you have to be a little bit like them. You can't be too weird. You can't be too different. So you have to understand their language and their ways and their, you know, their culture and their standards. And when you're making an argument or presentation, you do it this way, you don't do it that way. You know, academically, you have to do it that way. So he does it that way. And, for example, he started those connections, he started a journal of Vaishnava studies. So some amongst all of those professors of religion considered themselves to be Vaishnavas. Even some from different, you know, non-Vedic traditions, they understand Vaishnava means worshipper of Vishnu, means monotheism, there's one God. More strictly, it's followers of the Vedas that understand Vishnu as supreme, or the avatars of Vishnu, the expanse of Vishnu, they're supreme. So the Journal of Vaishnava Studies he did for about a year was bi-monthly, and he got this professor, that professor, the other professor, and he selected ones that they would speak something not critical of Gaudiya tradition, not necessarily the same as the Gaudiya tradition. And then he would, you know, get a Gaudiya author to write something. So gradually it went like that, and it was so much appreciated in Oxford University that Oxford University said, we'll print it. Using our name, Oxford Press, at our expense. You just supply the material, we'll print it. So good. So he's good. So he shared this with me then, and many other accomplishments in that field. He's very qualified. At this American Academy of Religion conference, he would regularly meet these two scholars who, now they're quite old, but when he began, and when, you know, when Prabhupada began, they were young. So, in the world of academics, something that you're one of the rules is you have to be critical. I mean, critical in one sense is discriminating, but also critical is this is not good because, and that's not good because, the other thing is not good because. You make your arguments. To, like a Mooney, you distinguish yourself from other Moonies. You have your own idea and you criticize or find faults in the other idea. So there are two men from the 60s, 1960s, so now it's, you know, 2015. They had established themselves as the foremost critics of Bhagavad Gita. And they had started their practice of each time a new Bhagavad Gita comes out, they would read it and give their critique. So over a period of 50 years, that's a lot of Bhagavad Gitas, a lot of critiques. So one of the earliest ones was Prabhupada's, and they criticized Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita for this and that. This is now maybe, I don't know, some number of years ago from today, maybe 8-10 years ago, something like that. At one of those American Academy of Religion conferences, both of them approached Sadhguruji independently and said, you know what, we used to criticize Bhaktivedanta Swami's Bhagavad Gita, but actually he's given the best. And the reason he's given the best is he's very consistent in presenting what the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita says on every page of Bhagavad Gita. Because some renderings of Bhagavad Gita say, this part teaches Karma Yoga, that teaches Jnana Yoga, that teaches Jnana Yoga, and there's the Bhakti section. But Prabhupada rendered everything consistent with this conclusion. Bhakti, 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 Bhakti. Those type of people don't usually make compliments. They make the compliment different. And similarly, that, you know, this section that we're reading from, this is Sankhya Yoga. And then it's Ashtanga Yoga, you'll see. That's the first verse. But probably Prabhupada is rendering it as, you know, Kapila Deva's teaching how to render devotional service. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has a different audience, different time, different set of readership. So he calls it Kapila, described Ashtanga Yoga. The translation of his verse, the Lord said, I shall speak about the characteristics of yoga, because it's Sati Yuga is the process of perfection is meditation. Yeah. And then dependent upon bhakti. So bhakti is the foundation, and then you do yoga, ashtanga yoga, but it's dependent upon, or this is the word in the verse, sabhi jasya. He writes in his purport, this means taking support. So the Ashtanga Yoga system has its foundation or support, bhakti. It's to assist or augment bhakti. So So it's bhakti, 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 bhakti. But, you know, more clinically, it's ashtanga supported by bhakti. Because that's exactly what the verse says. Here's his commentary, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary for the first verse. It gives a summary of what we've just done. In the 28th chapter, that's this one, meditation, fixing the mind upon the Supersoul. Meditation in the Ashtanga Yoga system is described in detail, by which the yogi attains liberation without effort, because that was Devahuti's question: how can the soul be extracted from matter? So when the soul is extracted from matter, that's the stage of liberation, and the Ashtanga Yoga, supported by bhakti, can achieve that. Now he summarizes the previous two chapters. Teaching devotion to himself, chapter 26. The Prabhupada has called that devotional service. That famous series of verses about the importance of sadhu sangha. It's in chapter 26. So that's very, that's not mixed, it's unmixed bhakti, chapter 26. And speaking about Sankhya mixed with bhakti, that's chapter 25 is the glories of devotional service. Chapter 26 is Sankhya mixed with bhakti, and that the bhakti comes at the very end, but it's the support of the Sankhya system. Then 27-28 is Sankhya, then be going into meditation or Ashtanga Yoga with bhakti as a support. We're going from mixed to unmixed. So 25 is over here. 25 is unmixed. Then 26 is Sankhya with bhakti as a support. More details about Sankhya with bhakti as a support. Where that Sankhya, the analysis of matter and spirit, is to strengthen the intelligence to discriminate between matter and spirit, so that one can engage in the meditation process on spirit and fixing the mind upon the Supreme Spirit with bhakti as its basis, and then again unmixed with devotion. You follow? Have I lost you? Good? And then in the earlier verses of this chapter, 2 through 5, he's going to describe yama and niyama, you know, the Ashtanga Yoga system. That's how it starts. Yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dhyana, dharma, samadhi. So, yama and niyama, the do's and the don'ts, the prescriptions and the restrictions, that's what's coming next. He's going to describe the yoga system with sabhajasya, with bhakti as its basis or support, dependent upon bhakti. Bhakti is independent. The other systems, to be effective, they're dependent. Bhakti is independent. As Krishna is independent, Bhakti is independent. And gives support to the other systems. Notice at the end of chapter 6, Bhagavad Gita, in that long purport, Prabhupada explains that any of the yoga systems cannot be properly called bhakti without at least a tinge of bhakti. Correct? Otherwise it's just, you know, something you do with your mind, or something you do with your work, or something you do with your intellect. But to call it yoga, there must be bhakti as the basis, which is confirmed in this verse here, first verse of chapter 28. So the verse, we're just going to be discussing verse 1 and 2. Verse 2 starts with the niyama thing that you're the principles to live by. Prohibitions, don't sin. And then the Yama, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, non-violence, truthfulness, don't steal, don't accept more than necessary, celibacy, silence. What's the purpose of all those things? To free the mind. Said conversely, one who does those things, their mind is always agitated. Can't focus on anything. Running from this thing to that thing. So, for us to chant properly, because that's our primary activity, these yamas or injunctions, standards by which, or codes of conduct by which we should live our life, is part of the bhakti process, is to help us, in one sense, to fix the mind. It's like, you know, the atmosphere in which we live our life should be the mode of goodness, so that you put in the center the holy name, and the holy name can explode, or, you know, germinate, and grow and grow and grow. And conversely, if our life is framed in impure, not mode of goodness atmosphere, the holy name is not going to grow nicely. So these things are to help us, one thing. That's how a life of bhakti is framed. Now we'll go to the Bhaktivedanta purports, text number 1. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear mother, O daughter of the King," who's the King? Swayambhumano. Devahuti is the daughter of the King. "I shall now explain to you the system of yoga, the object of which is to concentrate the mind." So the yamas and niyamas are to facilitate that. And fix the mind upon what? Upon Vishnu or Super Soul. Bhakti is the support. "By practicing this system, one can become joyful and progressively advance towards the path of the Absolute Truth." So this is like mixed, getting to the unmixed. The path toward excuse me, towards the path of the absolute truth. Language is important. Prabhupada begins the purport in the whole chapter by saying, these are authorized instructions, which is really important because so many people practice yoga all over the place. I know somebody that says they're an Ashtanga yoga practitioner, and I just have to check myself from that one. And they haven't a clue. But they, anyway. These are authorized teachings that will guide the yoga process, the yoga practice. To begin, the Lord says that by yoga practice, one can make progress towards understanding the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, how many people that go to take yoga is, I don't know how popular it is here in India, probably it's very popular all over the world. China is hugely popular, the West is hugely popular. When people go to yoga class, they don't have a clue what the purpose of it is. It's health, they feel good, something. We can make progress towards understanding the absolute truth, personality of Godhead. In all systems, this is in chapter 6, Bhagavad Gita Prabhupada explains, all systems of yoga, control of the mind, is essential. Conversely, without control of the mind, there's no question of yoga. I say it positively. All systems of yoga involve concentration of the mind. There's a godbrother named Prahladananda Swami. He's the minister of health and welfare. And one of the things he does is every day, for some period of time, each morning, along with his sadhana practice of chanting, he does japa. And, you know, from time to time, he shows devotees how to practice yoga. He told me, he was visiting in New York, that he had just come from London, and the devotees were in the public for their means of livelihood, their occupation to teach yoga. So they wanted to find out from him, are they teaching yoga properly? So he explained to them what I just said. So the real, at the heart of yoga is the control of the mind. And he showed me some exercise. It's just a matter of standing in a certain posture with your feet in a certain way and this and that and the other thing. And to do all that, you have to fix the mind. It's connecting the mind and the body, and you know, do it properly, and if there's an alignment, you don't do it properly, and you know, your mind is disturbed and your body is disturbed, or your health is not good, or something like that. So that's why people, one of the things that people like, they want good health. But when you know, the concentration of the mind is a principle that's meant. The whole yoga system is meant to bring the mind to vision that they don't teach. So the mind can't be peaceful because, and the purpose of the yoga system won't be achieved because they don't want vision. They want sense enjoyment. They want to feel good, be happy. But the joyfulness that's being spoken of here is not like a material happiness, it's a happiness of the soul. Twice in this purport, he goes on, you know, several sentences in a row about not being allured by mystic power. We discussed that a little bit yesterday evening. not only this Chinese professor, but, you know, people, they're attracted by mysticism. And even if they don't have mysticism, they fantasize it. You know, make video games where there's this person that has like amazing powers, or you know, comic books that have people have amazing powers, and because there's a fascination for mysticism. And it's just imagination. Or one may have mystic power, but the bhakti principle eschews that, it dismisses that. That was the last verse of the previous chapter. And now Prabhupada is repeating it again. In the Ashtanga Yoga practice, the incentive, again, this question of sankalpa, discussed yesterday, intention, or determination, or faith, one should practice these principles with the faith that this can help me come to the position of understanding the personality of Godhead and my relationship with Him, although I'm crippled. I have nothing but disqualification. I'm an unqualified candidate. Still, the process is so powerful, it can carry me to that position. That's the, again and again and again, the kind of faith that's being nurtured when somebody reads Prabhupada's books. You associate with a person who has such faith, and that's where your faith is getting encouragement or nourishment. Come to the stage of unmixed bhakti. Even one may be, you know, far from faith in attaining that by the process of hearing about Krishna. Two other things. In the purport, Prabhupada speaks, even Patanjali explains that the target of all yoga is Vishnu. Did you know that? Patanjali Yoga System says that. Here's the exact quote from Purja Prabhu's writing. Chitta vritti nirodha, which means the cessation of movements in the consciousness. Chitta vritti nirodha. That's the purpose of yoga. Same as what's mentioned in this verse. Concentrate the mind, or not have the mind distracted. Cessation of movements in consciousness. Wouldn't that be nice? You know, when you're chanting, just be attentive to chanting when you're chanting, instead of the other thing that happens. And then the other is Ishvara Pranidhanat, which means one's consciousness may be controlled through profound meditation on the Supreme Lord and total surrender to Him. Nice. I'm struggling with my mind when I'm chanting japa. So there's something behind that chanting, that's, you know, the regard or disposition of submission, of calling an independent mood upon the Supreme Lord. His May you, O Lord Krishna, please, you're the all-attractive. Please attract me to you. Because otherwise I'm so distracted. You're all attractive. And I'm not attractive because I'm distracted. So please attract me to you. And Balaram, you're the source of all spiritual strength. Please give me the strength to carry on my devotional service. So these potencies are there just within the name, and it's the meditation process that the bhakti yoga that we've been trained in engages us in, according to scripture. It's most powerful, the most powerful, and especially for this Asian culture, most powerful. It's so simple, it's so powerful. Again, one's consciousness may be controlled through profound meditation on the Supreme Lord and total surrender to Him. Profound meditation on the Supreme Lord is, for us, in chanting, is the name, because the name is the Supreme Lord. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes this in Harinam Chintamani, that when the mind becomes like this, pacified and cleansed, without extraneous effort, that the name appears, the form of Krishna appears within the mind. And it's not like, this is an important detail, it's not like there's the name and then there's the form, like two different entities. Within the name is the form. And when one is chanting, he explains, when one is chanting without distraction, or with profound meditation on the Supreme Lord, his form appears within the mind, which is manifest as part of the an aspect of the name. So the name and the form of Krishna are not different. The form becomes manifest, and then the qualities, and then the pastimes, just from chanting. The potency is there, the potential is there. So how to get this control of the mind, because we don't have it. So these instructions, although Kapila Deva is giving them in relation to the Ashtanga Yoga system, our system is the Mahamantra system, and the same principles apply. How to, without hindrance, focusing one's consciousness completely upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You must bring the mind under control. So now we'll go to the first of the yamas, or injunctions and prohibitions, niyamas. Kapila describes the necessity of observing celibacy and silence. Both of those are to keep the mind steady. So that's certainly what's going to make the mind unsteady, is where there's perturbance in sex desire. So celibacy helps keep that in check. And silence, of course, our silence is, we don't speak nonsense, we speak that which is in relation to Krishna and Krishna's service. But the other, those that don't have control of the power of speech, the mind of such a person is always agitated. So The goal of these things, these yamas, are to attain mental steadiness. And same with the asanas of the yoga system. And when people go to the yoga class, that's all they learn. They learn asanas. They don't learn yamas. They learn asanas. But that's also to facilitate mental steadiness. So here's text 2. One should execute his prescribed duties. To the best of his ability, and avoid performing duties not allotted to him. One should be satisfied with as much gain as he achieves by the grace of the Lord, and one should worship the lotus feet of a spiritual master. So, no surprise, Prabhupada spends almost the entire purport speaking about the importance of spiritual master. As he did in general, in how he presented Krishna consciousness to the West, which then in turn was, you know, his teachings were translated into languages all over the world, because without read very carefully the purport of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, text 8 through 12. And in those verses, it's items of knowledge. And of the so many items of knowledge, one of them is most important. And that's Mayichananya Yogena Bhaktya Avyabhichanani. Attaining unmixed devotion to the Supreme Lord. And to get that, acharya upasana, those two are most important. Attainment is shelter in unmixed devotion with the Supreme Lord. To achieve that, shelter in the personality, in the spiritual master, worshipping the spiritual master. So same, that's Bhagavad Gita, this is Sankhya philosophy. Same, not different, same teaching. Charanacharan. Charanacharan. Taking shelter of the lotus feet of the spiritual master. And archanam, worshipping him, surrendering to him, inquiring from him. That's what worship of the spiritual master means. It doesn't just mean, you know, ring a bell and offer some incense. It means these things just mentioned. And then the other part of the paragraph, or the purport, is about duties. Swadharma chananam. So there's dharma and there's swadharma. What's the difference? Dharma is within our natural system. We have our psychophysical nature, so we have duties according to our psychophysical nature. If, however, one is fortunate enough to transcend the designation of birth in a particular society or community by being elevated to the standard of spiritual identity, then his swadharma or duty is solely that of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we do so when that's by good fortune. Somehow we've had good fortune come into our life. We've had the association of Prabhupada's teachings and the association of devotees that are following these Prabhupada's teachings. So we have some, at least we can touch this swadharma principle. And then we can frame our lives with duties according to our psychophysical nature. That's the, you know, the mode of goodness framework, within which comes this, the chanting and excavating or reviving our dormant Krishna consciousness, because that's the jewel. And there's the jewel box. The purpose of the jewel box is the jewel. And we shouldn't get negligent about the ordinary things. We shouldn't be obsessive about the ordinary things. If you remember that from yesterday evening, this qualification, the adhikar of bhakti, is neither too much attached, too much detached. But faith in the process of hearing, it's really nice, very simple. So we're not negligent in our worldly duties, we're not obsessed with, you know, getting ahead or, you know, something. We're not lazy, and we're not obsessed. We're satisfied with what comes of its natural accord. And do those things with maximized attention to devotion to Krishna, how we do those things. And you put your attention there, and it grows. There's a saying, our book distribution minister, I mentioned his name the other day, Vaisheshika, he has this nice saying, where attention goes, energy flows. It is true. So behind attention is intention. It's a little one. What's your sankalpa? What's your faith? What is it that you wish? Do you wish worldly prosperity? Or do you wish to restore your relationship with Krishna? You know, there's a mix. But where's your faith, ultimately? That self-reflection, or inquisitiveness, or self-evaluation, or self-honesty, or like that introspection. It's good to know, good to touch that place, that that's really what's important to me. Because if you don't, like, pay attention to that which is really important to you, it's so easy to get lost and temporary. And the struggle with, oh, it looks bad, oh, it looks good, and bouncing around in this bubble of illusion. Forgetting the purpose of life, that the valuable gift that the human form of life affords, and with that, not only that, the association of a pure devotee who can take us to the stage of perfection. We get lost in temporary. Neither too much attached, too much detached, but faith in the principle of hearing. The actual duty of one who is advanced in Krishna consciousness is to serve the Lord. As long as one remains in the bodily concept of life, he may act according to the duties of social convention, but if one is elevated to the spiritual platform, he must simply serve the Supreme Lord. Semicolon. That is the real execution of Swadharma, which is mentioned in the verse. Isn't it nice? Srimad Bhagavatam. It's like if you have an ailment, one of the biggest challenges is finding a doctor that knows what he's doing to help you with your ailment. Or diagnose what it is and guide you in how to do what you should do. And so, yeah, what if Bhadranarayana Swami was describing that he went to a highly recommended Ayurvedic clinic in Coimbatore. And he spent a whole month. He said the best part was there were two other sannyasis that he was with, And they got together every evening and they read together. That was the best part of it. But he was giving as an example two things. One, they, as they were inquiring him, what's your practice in your eating? And he said, well, I like to eat this. They said, oh, that's the worst thing you can do. The other one said, oh, that's the best thing you can do. Same clinic. Then another one, you know, something else. You have this habit. Oh, that's the best thing you can do. Oh, it's the worst thing you can do. So, as with medicine, what to speak of spiritual well-being? There's someone that actually knows, and very compassionately, they're extending the, you know, the means of curing the disease of material existence. As Prabhupada begins the chapter, this is authorized teachings with from a realized person. How fortunate. We're distracted. Our attention goes to other things. That's our misfortune. But the opportunity is the greatest fortune. We had rich Chaya. Somehow, causeless mercy came into our life. Let us cultivate that most valuable thing, this clear understanding of Swadharma. We're used to living in this other realm, not even the realm of Dharma so much as the realm of hedonism and Kali Yuga distractions. It's so sad. Technology has rapidly corrupted the minds and the hearts of the world's population. Rapidly. I travel a lot, and one of the things that goes on regularly is all types of people, kids, mothers, men in business suits, sitting there playing their little video games. It's really sad. It's just like brain numbing. And that's what they're hooked. They're addicted. You know, as soon as the plan lanes, they got their device on. They can't, like, wait. It's like, you know, people that have alcohol addiction or cigarette addiction or some other addiction. They're addicted to these things. I was waiting to board a plane, and the pilot, two pilots, because there's always two, they came over. They saw some well-dressed man doing his video game thing. He leaned over and said, who's winning? The man looked up and smiled, and he just went right back. It's all illusion. It's really dumb. It's so sad. What is the higher purpose of life? You know, what to do about this circumstance? Kali Yuga is rampant. Runaway madness. So the saner section of society can take relief. Even we're distracted by the atmosphere in which we're living. Take advantage. It's a great, great treasure. Help us most. Any comments or questions?
Yeah. How to come out of the situation where taking the shelter of the circumstances and not doing the practices properly, because I'm in the circumstances where I'm not so no well placed, so that is why I'm not able to do it. So how to come out of that?
Well, what is Krishna saying? So this is similar to the answer that I gave Satyavrata before. Here's a circumstance that says, I know what I should do, but I'm caught in the external thing. What should I do? Same, pause. That means motive, purpose. Reflect. What is the message that Krishna gives? What would be, because within the message of Krishna there is power, there's spiritual strength. Sufficient strength to carry it out, even though I may be weak, or bewildered, or confused, or something. Not so strong. Within the instruction is the strength. So the first instruction that Krishna gives, tons to take to Subhanatha. What does that mean? You tolerate the circumstance. You withdraw consciousness from duality and invest consciousness in the Absolute. Withdraw consciousness from Asat and invest consciousness in Sat. Now, in response, someone may say, yeah, but it's too difficult because it's very taxing and it's challenging and it's disturbing and yeah, but so find reasons. You find unlimited reasons to be allured by Maya, that which is not. It's still that which is not. Yeah, but doesn't change that. So there's Krishna's shelter. And that's reality with a capital R. And spiritual strength with a capital S. So heed the instruction. Oh, but I'm weak. So supposing somebody has a fever, and the very thing that the body needs is nourishment, they can't eat. They have no appetite. This example is given in by Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur in Madhurya Kandambani. So what should they do? They take the medicine that the doctor prescribes to overcome the fever. And it may even taste bitter, but they take the medicine because they have faith in the doctor and the medicine of the doctor, and they take the medicine. And gradually the fever subsides. Good doctor, good medicine, following properly. And then gradually health. And then gradually I can eat something. We're materially diseased. It's not just this particular phase of your life. I don't even know what the circumstances. There's always something, and then there's something, and then there's something. It's always something. The nature of the place. It's disturbing. Krishna says it's by design. It's designed that way. So what are you going to do? You tolerate it. Withdraw consciousness from the temporary, from duality, and place consciousness inside. And it's possible. Stay in the association of those that are doing that, and there's strength beyond your own strength. Faith in the teachings, and within ISKCON, our primary Shiksha Guru is Srila Prabhupada, infallible Shiksha Guru. So place faith in those teachings and hear them carefully and apply them. And just like that's the fever medicine. So that, in fact, you can withdraw from asat to place in sat. The feverish mentality says, oh, I have a temperature of 101, so I should move it to 105. No. Don't get further implicated. in the asat, in duality. You're all bothered by the circumstance. Tolerate the circumstance. And instead, invest consciousness itself. That's our culture, spiritual culture. Then make this determination, okay, I'm going to do it. And even if you get knocked over, you know, like a child learning to walk, just get up again. Get knocked over, get up again. Just be determined to go to Sat, go to Krishna. Take the strength of Krishna's instructions. He'll hold your hand if you have to reach and, you know, bite him to hold your hand. He's not going to force you. But just extend your hand and there's strength. He's very loving. Unfailingly loving. Anything else? Yes.
In the association of the world, we do everything so consciously, like chanting, hearing,
yeah.
And putting on water, what will that be? But slowly, when we are out of association, it carries out, the strength carries out for a few days. Most of the times, we miss the consciousness, and we just carry on the activities, but we are missing the consciousness to fix the mind.
That's the, what you just described is unsteady devotion, anishtita bhakti. So what does the person who is in the stage of anishtita bhakti do? Put the horse before the cart, and the cart will move. So what's the horse? Bhajana Kriya. Stay focused on devotional practices done attentively, nicely, carefully, and the cart will follow. The anarjanavritti stage, it's the anarjas that are causing the unsteadiness. It's our distraction by this and that and the other thing, instead of Krishna. So we engage in, just go back to the Bhajana Kriya activities, done nicely, attentively, carefully, with faith that by that process, cleansing will happen. And gradually steadiness. There's an alternative. You can struggle. Daivahiyeshu gunamani mama maya duratyaya. You know the verse? No? You can look it up. Guna mayi, the material nature, modes of nature, guna. Guna mayi. It's mama maya duratyaya. Dur, very difficult. Struggling with material energy is endlessly difficult struggle. Then Krishna gives an option. Mam evie prapadyante. Prapadyante means surrender. Surrender to me, you can easily cross beyond it. So, take a pick. Struggle endlessly, or cross beyond it. And then you could say, yeah, but struggle. And to that I say, surrender. Same. Take Krishna's instruction. Yeah, but I'm you know, I'm weak. It's okay. Krishna's strong. Yeah, but I'm tiny. Well, Krishna's big. Just like a child. This is same message, just doing it in a different language. All over the world. Not just, you know, this part of the world, all over the world. A child goes like this. What does it mean? Everybody knows. the child wants to feel the shelter and comfort of their mother or father. I've seen this so many times. And, you know, they say first is the mother. But as soon as there's like, you know, 3 seconds or 10 seconds, the child turns and looks to the father and goes like this. There's one, you know, this sense of being sheltered. And then within, you know, some number of seconds, they're squirming and they're wiggling, they want to run around. But they, you know, they want that sense of protection and shelter. So do you. Krishna is that protection and shelter. You don't need to struggle. The strength is there within shelter in Krishna. We've forgotten that. We're in this world of distraction. Sadhana gives us some strength, and then the world of distraction gets us distracted. Take shelter of Krishna. Continue with the sadhana, Vajana Kriya, and put with that strength, apply that strength in your life. And gradually, remaining undistracted will be yours. Not because of you, but because of Krishna. Because of that shelter in Krishna. We're not alone. We think we're alone. We're not alone. It's Maya to think we're alone. It's independent enjoyment. I'm going to do it. Everyone's taught this since they're little. You can do it. Just apply yourself. Just work hard. Strive. Right? Do your studies, you know. You'll conquer victory, you know. There's so many versions of it. Kartahamiti Mamite from Bhagavad Gita. I'm the doer. We're trained up in that consciousness. That's not Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much, Prabhupada.